Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer portion at the end of the presentation. To ask a question at that time, please press star, then one. This conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Bob Phinisey, Vice President for Americas Business Partner Sales. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, good afternoon to everybody who joined. We actually have a very large audience, so obviously there is a tremendous amount of interest on today's topic, and really excited to share with you an SVI update. And it's really going to focus on a couple of key areas that Chris Follansbee will take you through. Team, we have some exciting announcements to share with you about some changes to our SVI program, both in terms of improving our ease of doing business with us from an SVI standpoint, as well as a new fourth quarter incentive. So I will obviously not go into any of those details and steal Chris's thunder, but I think what you will hear, based on the feedback that you have given to us on improving our program, as well as helping you to drive more SVI business and close the quarter successfully, I'm confident you're going to enjoy what you hear today. Then secondly, and just as important, we wanted to spend some time with you about the SVI program and as we move into our Software Value Plus program, SVP, formerly known as Growth Through Skills. Obviously, on our new program of SVP, we can't communicate enough, and hopefully you're seeing an awful lot of communications out to you as our partners about the program, where we are, things that you need to do to get positioned and in place for the program. So we thought it was incredibly important to take you through some of the details as we have this upcoming to be implemented on the January 25th, 2010. We are locked and loaded on that date, and to get you positioned with our SVI program so you can understand where you are and things that you may need to do to be ready on the 25th of January. So really, those are the two things that we wanted to take you through. Chris has got the team positioned here for some Q&A at the back end. For those of you who don't have access to the charts, I would like to point you back to the original invitation for this meeting. In that invitation were links to the presentation that Chris is going to use today. There's a link specifically for our business partners to click on and get the presentation, and then for those IBMers on the phone, you can use that. So, please go in there and click on to get that presentation if you don't presently have that. So, again, my sincere appreciation for you guys joining us on the call. There's a lot of great content that we'll share with you today. Please don't be bashful. I know you want to give us your questions so that we can provide you with the answers and work with you to ensure that you're in the best position for Software Value Plus as well as our SVI program. So with that, I'll turn the call over to Chris. Chris?
Thank you so much, Bob. For those of you all who can't access the link for some reason or maybe it's not working for you, let me just also say that you can send a note at this point to Rhonda Richardson. Her ID is rhondar1@us.ibm.com, and she is standing by to send out call materials to anybody who can't access the link. As Bob says, we have a really exciting agenda today. I know you're going to be excited, particularly to hear about the process change on the documentation waiver and the year-end incentive. So with that, let's move to Chart 3, and I'll start with the Small Deal Sales Documentation Waiver. As we mentioned, this is a new announcement. It was announced just this week by Sandy Carter. And basically, for qualifying opportunities, business partners will no longer be required to submit sales documentation to receive an SVI fee payment. The goal here was to lower the administrative overhead for SVI participation. This is something that all of you all have been saying was something we needed to work on. and to increase the revenue from small deals. I will also add that this is not only going to lower your overhead, it's going to decrease the amount of time that the IBM SME is going to have to spend on these opportunities. So I'm probably as excited about this as you are. Let's go through the qualifying criteria that opportunities must meet in order to qualify. First, all SVI eligible revenue records in the approved opportunity must be approved for ID and sale. The opportunity owner must also be the reseller of the sales order. And for this waiver, we're only able to match one sales order to the opportunity. The sum of the end user entitled price for all new licensed parts is equal to or less than $50,000, or $66,100 Canadian. The best news of all is that this is effective immediately. So if you have got some opportunities that you haven't yet submitted for payment that qualify for this, go ahead and get them in. If you've got some that you've already submitted and we haven't started the review process, we will use the new criteria. For your information, these details can also be found on the SVI website. And note that this is not a year-end incentive. This is a change to the program, very similar to the documentation change we announced for VAP in early 2008, and we hope that it's going to be equally beneficial. Okay, let's go to the next chart. At the same time that we announced the process change, we also announced an SVI year-end incentive. The IBM Software Channel Sales is announcing an incremental 10% fee payment for selected software value incentive opportunities. I've had numerous notes and calls from business partners this week saying, I need to understand this. This sounds too good to be true. Well, it is as good as it sounds. To qualify for the incremental fee payment, an opportunity must qualify for the SVI fee payment and meet all of the following criteria. Let me just step you through these. The fee payment request must be submitted no later than January 31, 2010. Typically, we allow up to 60 days after the sales order to submit for payment. However, we've accelerated that schedule for this incentive. So if you close a deal on December 31st, you need to submit for payment no later than January 31st in order to qualify for this incentive. The transaction must take place in the U.S., Puerto Rico, or Canada, as this is a North America-only incentive. The business partner must also be the reseller. This applies to sales orders that are dated from November 1st, 2009 through December 31st. The total new license revenue of the sales order must be less than or equal to $50,000. Again, $66,100 Canadian. And this is limited to the first approved payment per end user per business partner during the qualifying period. If, for example, you have three opportunities registered for a particular customer, you close all three of those, the one that is submitted and approved for payment first that meets these criteria will be the only one that qualifies for the incremental 10% fee payment. All other standard SVI terms and conditions apply. Yesterday I got a question asking how this would work with VAP, and I want to just give an example here. Even if you're using VAP to close the deal, you can still earn this extra 10% in SVI fees. Like I said, this is really as good as it sounds. As you know, VAP replaces the SVI sell fee. So typically, if you are approved for sell only for an opportunity and you close it using VAP, you would not submit for payment because no SVI fees would be paid. However, with this incentive, any eligible opportunity that meets the criteria that I've just discussed can still earn a 10% incentive in SVI fees. What this means is you will need to submit opportunities that you close with VAP, even if you were approved for sale only. I'm sure there's going to be questions about this at the end. I'd ask that you jot your questions down, but hopefully you understand that this is a great opportunity for a year-end incentive, and you need to act quickly to take advantage of it. Okay, if everybody would flip to chart 5. I'm going to spend the bulk of the presentation time talking about Software Value Plus and its relationship to SVI. All of this information is important, but what I've tried to do in these charts is highlight the information in red that is particularly important, I think, in order for you to understand how it's going to relate to SVI. If you listen to Sandy Carter's call on 1028, you heard her say that IBM's strategy for driving growth through skills was announced last February. Software Value Plus is the implementation of that growth through skills strategy. We're going to have several changes that come about, but the major one is going to be regarding product structure. Products will now be grouped into product groups. And this is important for IBM, for SVI, because SVI will use the new product group structure that has been created for Software Value Plus. Approval for a product group under the Software Reseller Authorization Agreement requires either approval for the product group under SVI or Value Advantage Plus. Today, we're really going to talk primarily about SVI, but I'm happy to answer any questions you might have about FAP as well. Let's go to the next chart. What SVI changes are there going to be? Well, there's program changes, and that, as I said, centers primarily around the product groupings, the qualifications to participate in the program, and the qualifications to be approved for products. There's also process changes. We're not going to spend a lot of time on enrollment today because I'm assuming that you're already enrolled in SVI if you're listening to this call as a business partner. But I am going to talk about the recent revalidation process and what it means to you, as well as how terminations in the product group and terminations in the program will be affected by SVP. If you look at Chart 7, you will see the key changes outlined. On the left-hand side, you see how things are today, and on the right-hand side, you see how things will be on January 19th. Now, as Bob has noted, Software Value Plus is currently scheduled to go into effect on January 25th, 2010. However, all SVI program and process changes will take effect on January 19th. That's why you see the date there of January 19th. So let's just go down this list so that we're sure that everybody's clear about this. Today, you are approved for SVI either by software group, brand, or the Software Value Net portfolio. Starting January 19th, you will be approved at the product group level. The Software Value Net portfolios will be part of the product groups. Today, to be approved for a product registration, this is outside of Software Value Net, you only have to have one technical certification in a brand to register an opportunity. Starting in January, you'll have to have two technical certifications and one sales certification. The authorization for Software Value Net will not change. For revalidation, in the past we've been doing it annually. January 1st, we would look at your certs to see how many certs you had. Did you still qualify for the program? And in terms of registering for an opportunity, we would check those certs daily as the information was downloaded from the Partner World system to GPP. For revalidation with Software Value Plus, we will be revalidating every 6 months for the program. And the product groups will also be revalidated every 6 months. This is outside of Software Value Net. I'm going to talk a little bit more later about how that will affect your ability to enroll and what you're going to need to do in case you pick up some additional certs between the revalidation periods. Moving on to the next chart, this is a great graphic showing how we are changing the SVI program structure to fit the product groups. On the left-hand side, you'll see that we've got the existing product groups. That's the software group brand, which is now Lotus, Rational, Tivoli, etc. Then we had the brand family under that, and the part numbers that rolled up to the brand family. Under the new arrangement, we will have the software group brand and then the product group, which is being added. The brand families will roll up to the product groups, and the part numbers will roll up to the brand family. You will continue to register by brand family for SVI. However, the authorization will be done at the product group level. Moving on to chart 9, we've got the product groups here shown by product group type. In the reseller authorization product groups, you have those that are shown, and they're differentiated by color for brand. Software value net portfolios stay the same. And then you have the open distribution product groups. To determine which certifications you need for each of those product groups, you can go to the technical and sales skill navigation guide, and I've actually got the link at the bottom of the page there. This link is, the latest list out there, I believe it's dated October 2009. So I would encourage you to go to that. You can see exactly what certifications you need for each and every one of those product groups. All right, if you'll go to slide 10. As I said, I'm not going to spend much time on enrollment, but I did want to point out that there is a key change. Let's look at item 2. Today in SVI to be approved, or in the past in SVI to be approved in the program, you either had to have 3 or more current IBM certifications, and at least 2 had to be technical certifications, or you had to be a reseller for Software Value Net. Starting January 19th, you must, to be approved in the program, you must have 1 or more current IBM sales certifications and 2 or more current IBM technical certifications in 1 or more product groups. The Software Value Net criteria do not change. Okay, let's look at chart 11 and talk about product approval. Just as the enrollment criteria will require multiple certifications by product group, you will also be required to have multiple certifications within a product group in order to enter an opportunity. So for a reseller authorization product group, you must have at least 1 qualifying sales cert and at least 2 qualifying technical certs in that product group. For an open distribution brand product group, you must have at least 1 qualifying sales cert and at least 2 qualifying technical certs in the software group brand. For Software Value Net portfolio, again, no changes. Okay, let's look at chart 12. The certification guidelines for the SVI program. Technical sales mastery tests count as a technical certification for the purposes of SVI. That has been the case throughout the SVI program, and it will continue to be the case. There was a little misunderstanding within one of the brands that I was talking to recently, and you need to understand that we can't count the same cert for sales and technical. The technical sales masteries count as technical and technical only. No changes going forward. Throughout the year, as business partners enrolled in SVI, their certifications have been checked at enrollment time and daily. Going forward, throughout the year, we will be checking their certifications at enrollment time and then at the revalidation date. Partner role requirement that only 2 certifications per person are counted is waived for SVI. 1 person may have all the certifications required for SVI enrollment and product approval. No change there. The certifications do not have to be unique. No change there. An employee can have their certifications counted in 1 business partner company profile. Having duplicate enrollments is cause for termination, and the employee must be a full-time employee of the company. No change there. Certifications are required by business partner, by country. Again, no change. Let me talk about the Chains for Software Value Net portfolio. Those certifications that qualify for the resale authorization group will also qualify for the open distribution product group for the software group brand. For example, in Software Value Net, if a business partner, let's say, has a Cognos cert, I'll say they have the IBM Certified Designer Cognos 8 BI reports. That's a technical cert. That cert would count toward their requirement of 2 technical certs and 1 sales cert for IM Open, since it is a technical cert under the Cognos product group. Now, looking at Tivoli, for example, if a partner has a Tivoli Storage Solutions Sales Professional, which is a sales cert, that they are counting toward their Tivoli Storage resale authorization, that would also count for Tivoli Open. Now, it's a little confusing, and we can certainly address questions on that, but I just wanted to point that out. And number 8, if a certification applies to more than one product group, then the individual's achievement of that certification can be used to qualify for each of those product groups. Hopefully, you've all been working on all these certifications, and you've been accessing the certification materials on the Software Value Plus, or formerly Growth Through Skills, website, so this isn't new news. Let's move on to the revalidation on chart 13. The changes include, as I've mentioned, we will be checking for program participation every 6 months instead of annually, and product approval, except for the Software Value Net portfolios, will also be reviewed every 6 months and will be done at the product group level instead of, as we formerly did it, at the software group brand level. The 6 month time period will be coordinated with the reseller authorization, and I don't know that we've determined yet exactly what months that's going to be done, but you will hear about that later. The Software Value Net portfolio revalidation will be done via the Software Value Net annual revalidation process. Now, let's talk a little bit about how this certification check is going to affect you. If a partner loses an employee or the certification is sunset, and the business partner falls below the required certifications at any time during the revalidation period, they will have until the next revalidation date to achieve the necessary certifications, so you can continue to qualify for SVI program participation and product approval. This is a little different than the way it currently works, because since we have been updating certs daily, if you lost a cert or the cert was sunset, then you might have lost your ability to register an opportunity under that brand. So this gives you a little bit more runway to be sure that you take care of getting that certification fixed. On chart 14, let's talk about terminations. We've got two terminations here, two types of terminations. First is the product group terminations. As I've mentioned, those will now happen twice a year after revalidation. And the terminations will be at the product group, not the brand level, as we have done in the past. After each SVI revalidation, if a business partner no longer has the necessary certs to be approved for a reseller authorization or open distribution product group, or they lose their approval for the Software Value Net portfolio, then the SVI approval for the associated product groups will be revoked. In terms of program termination, if a partner is terminated from the SVI program, their SVI opportunities that have not been closed will remain in the present SVI status for a 30-day wind-down period, allowing you to reapply for SVI and retain your opportunities. This is used to keep the opportunities in present status. This used to be we kept the opportunities in present status for 90 days to allow the business partners to come back in. Going forward, those opportunities will be kept eligible for 30 days only. Now, what's important to note here is that if you are terminated from a product group or terminated from the program, you can no longer register for that product group, but any existing opportunities you might have if you're terminated from the product group will stay in place until you submit for payment or until the opportunity expires, whichever comes first. Moving on to Chart 15, we're going to talk about the transition plan. We have modified the enrollment process a little bit during this transition plan, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the enrollment process, but I do want to talk about the revalidation process that we've gone through, as well as the termination. Let's look at Chart 16 and discuss the SBI transition plan and the revalidation process. We have completed the revalidation process for SBI for North America and reviewed each business partner certifications and software value net approvals against the new SBI participation requirements. This is all based on an October 9th baseline report. We have updated each business partner's SBI enrollment form in PPS and approved each product group in which they met the SBI criteria as of 10/9/09. You should have received notification via PPS of your SBI approvals, and those came by product group, so you may have gotten multiple notifications and been told that you met the new criteria for that product group. However, please note that the changes are not effective until January 19th, and your global partner portal profile will not be updated until January 19th. These notifications were all sent to the business partners' Partner World primary relationship contact. And I just want to say right now that due to some system issues, if you were in VAP and SBI, you may not have gotten notification of some of the approved product groups within PPS, via PPS. That system issue has been fixed. We do have your product groups updated, and if you have any question about that, you can go to PPS, look at the SBI enrollment form, and see all of your approved product groups. Now, since the initial process has been completed, if a partner wishes to be approved for additional product groups, then they must request approval. You use the SBI enrollment form to do this, and I've got a link to that or screenshots in the backup chart that show you how to do that. Any business partner who did not meet the new SBI criteria for any of the product groups was only approved for the product group other. And if you're one of those business partners, I need to just warn you that if that's the only product group for which you were approved, you will be notified of SBI enrollment failure, and you will receive a program termination effective January 19th. Okay, moving to Chart 17, this is the transition period for product termination. For business partners who meet the criteria to remain in SBI, all of your eligible opportunities will remain active until the opportunity expiration date. Business partners may request payment for those opportunities, even if they are no longer approved in the product groups to which the brand families belong. This is very important. This is no change from what we currently do, but I just want to be sure to point out to you that if you didn't meet the criteria to remain in a product group, but you have an opportunity that's already eligible for that product group, that opportunity will stay valid. However, effective January 19th, you will be unable to submit any new opportunities unless you meet the SBI qualification criteria and are subsequently approved for the product groups of the brand family to be registered. Again, we're still continuing to register by brand family, but the approval comes at the product group level. After the first SBI revalidation in 2010, all of the business partners' opportunities will be subject to the 2010 revalidation rules. So, what is the call to action? Well, I know you've all been working on this, but you want to ensure that your Partner World profile is up to date to reflect all of the certifications held by your employees. You want to review the certification requirements for each product group in which you wish to participate in SBI and or the requirements to be approved for a software value net portfolio. As necessary, develop plans to achieve the required certifications. Visit the Partner World SVI pages and review the SVI changes for Software Value Plus document. This presentation that I'm doing today is to supplement what's already out there, but this is all documented on the Partner World pages as well. For software reseller authorization countries, review your program requirements as appropriate, and we would suggest that you wait until your SVI and VAP revalidations have been completed before you apply for software reseller authorization. I just noticed that my last bullet fell off the page. I apologize for that. But to be approved for additional product groups, you need to access the SVI enrollment form and click on Add a New Product Group. As I mentioned, I have screenshots in the backup slides that show you exactly how to do that. For more information on Chart 19, I have listed several Partner World links on the left. And on the right, you've got a screenshot that shows you what you see when you go to the SVI link there. As I mentioned, there is additional information about the two new announcements. The small deal sales documentation waiver, all the details are there if you'll click. And then under the software value incentive, year-end incentive, you can also view details. You can go to the SVI operations guide from there, and as I've mentioned, all of the details regarding software value incentive changes for Software Value Plus are contained in a document that you can get to from this site. In addition to the Software Value Incentive site, you've got the link there to the Software Value Plus site. If there's any question about criteria for certifications, you can access the Skills Navigation Guide by going to that site, clicking on Authorized Portfolio, clicking on Criteria, and that'll take you directly to a PDF that you can download that lists by brand or actually by product group, the technical and sales skill navigation guides. To enroll in Software Value Plus, I've indicated the link here, and there's also a link where we have FAQs for updating your Partner World profile. Year-end considerations. Well, the first thing I would point out is that you want to close all small deals to take advantage of the SVI incentive and submit for payment prior to January 31st. I don't have that listed here, but I think that is a key thing. The rest of the considerations are fairly basic, things that we try to remind you of at every quarter end and every year end, but I think they're particularly important right now. First, register your opportunities early. This increases your odds of being approved. And remember that you must register 15 days prior to the IBM sales order date. In the past, and this has been some time past now, we had some year-end waivers on that 15-day criteria. There will be no year-end waiver this year. So, again, please, please go out and get those opportunities registered 15 days prior to the sales order date. Next, complete the BANT form. This is something we've always asked you to do. You may have noticed in the materials today I included a new version of the BANT form. What we tried to do here was to allow you to give us even more information about your opportunity. It is very important that you complete the information and provide us with enough information about the opportunity or the project to allow us to differentiate it from other projects that may be going on in the same company. This seems to be a concern that's coming up more and more, especially in some of these large companies where you may be working on a departmental project and there's other departmental projects going on that look similar. It is critical that you give us enough information to differentiate the two opportunities. Otherwise, we will have to regard it as a duplicate. It's also critical that you provide all alternate company names, parent names, et cetera. This is as much for the search process as it is to help us match up sales orders after the opportunity has closed. The two documents that are included in the presentation materials are actually the same. One is designed as an actual form, and you might prefer to use that. The other is a standard document. Feel free to use whichever one works best for you. As I've noted here in red, the new version can be used now, but it will be required after 1/1/10. So I would suggest that you distribute this to those people in your company who are completing BANT forms so that they can start using it immediately. Next, I would ask you at this point to check your opportunity expiration dates and remember that requests for payment must be submitted prior to the expiration date. If you have opportunities where you need to submit an extension request or a new opportunity, please do that before the expiration date. It's also a good time to look at getting anything submitted that you may not immediately meet the product certification for starting January 19th. Review your brand family choices. The brand family should match the solution described and/or the part numbers listed on the BANT. While we will point out any obvious mismatch when we are reviewing your opportunities, you are the one who is responsible for selecting the correct brand family. We don't have as much information as you do. We do not actually go in and look up every part number under the eligible parts list. We're assuming that you have done this. So please be sure to make good brand family choices. The good news about the new BANT is we've included a link on there to the SVI eligible parts list. So if somebody's filling out the BANT, they can immediately click on the SVI parts list right there and go to it. Next, I have left time for questions. Let me just tell you what's in the backup charts in case you want to take a look at those. I've got coverage charts that show the SVI coverage model for my my SMEs or subject matter experts. For the heritage products, we cover opportunities primarily by the geographic location of the opportunity. For Software ValueNet, we cover those opportunities by the geographic location of the business partner. So there's two different charts. One is for standard SVI. The other is for Software ValueNet. On those, I've provided emails, phone addresses, phone numbers, et cetera, for all of the SME team. As I also mentioned, I didn't go into a lot of detail here about process changes for enrollments because, as I said, typically, we would expect that you are already enrolled, but I do have the information there for your information. So at this point, Becca, I would like to open the line up for questions and let everybody know that I do have several experts on the line to help me with questions. Dave Fitzpatrick, who is a Software Value Plus subject matter expert, is on the line in case any questions come up in that area. And I also have Karen Greco from the Worldwide Software Group SVI team. And she's been very instrumental in many of the process and operations changes. So, Becca, can you open the line, please?
Yes, thank you. And if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. Please unmute your phone and record your name when prompted. To withdraw your questions, you may press star 2. Once again, please press star 1 if you have a question.
I can't believe I was that clear. Surely there's some questions out there.
We do have some questions, and the first one comes from Scott Hooks.
Yes, just wanted to know what revenue number counts on toward the $50,000 limitation. Is that the revenue number that is the price that we pay to our distributor?
It is the end user entitled price.
That's list price based on their level?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Lisa Duke?
Yes, we're wondering on the extra 10% on SVI, mm-hmm. Is that if you ID and sell the opportunity, or is it okay if it's sell only?
Lisa, thanks for your question. I knew there'd be some confusion on that. This incentive was announced as an incremental 10% fee payment. We do not indicate that it has to be ID and cell. So if you are approved for SVI and you were approved for cell only, you still qualify. I don't know if you were on when I talked about VAP, but let me just repeat that. If you are approved for cell only, you close the deal with a VAP solution, you are still eligible to earn this additional 10% fee payment. However, you will need to submit for payment in SVI to get it. Does that answer your question?
Yep, it sure does.
Okay, thanks.
Vicky Quijano.
Hi, Chris. This is Zeke at Arrow.
Hey, Zeke.
Hi. A question about the no documentation for deals under $50,000.
Okay.
For the extra 10%, you specify total new license revenues and user entitled price or special bid price. But for deals where no documentation is required, you did not mention special bid. So if an opportunity is, let's say, $75,000, but a special bid brings it down to $45,000, will that qualify, or
yes,
is it strictly on entitled?
Thank you for asking that question. We will be calculating that the same way. It's the end user entitled price, and in that case, the end user entitled price would be the special bid price.
Got it. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Kevin Mort.
Good afternoon. I have a question on slide 11.
Okay, let me find it. Okay.
Looking at the second or second part of the first bullet there on the effective for July 19, am I understanding now that, because this looks like a little bit of a difference in how this was talked about originally, that certifications under what would be considered under the OPA distribution product group would still count as far as registering for SVI and being part of the program?
Karen, are you on?
Yes, you want me to take that one? Yes.
I do. Yeah.
Hi. Yes, the certifications that you hold in the open, in the brands, will count for the open distribution brand product groups. So, for example, in Tivoli, if you have a sales cert in Tivoli Business Automation, you still need one sales plus two technical. So if you had sales in Tivoli Business Automation, a technical cert in Tivoli Storage, and a technical cert in Tivoli Security,
mm-hmm.
those are not in one particular reseller authorization group, but those would count for the Tivoli open products.
Yeah,
so that would give you the Tivoli brand.
In our particular case, we're a Lotus partner, and what's in the reseller groups is extraordinarily limited as far as what's available. It's just Webster Portal, and that's basically it. So for 2010 and forward, if we have certifications that today count, do they still count but only under the open distribution, and can we continue to be part of SVI at that point?
Yes.
Or do we have to invest? Okay.
No, the ones that count for Tivoli for Lotus Open now will continue to count for Lotus Open. It's just
okay.
If you want to do Portal that has specific certs for the Lotus Portal Reseller Authorization Group, then you need
right.
one sales plus two technical of those certs that count for that particular Reseller Authorization Group.
Okay. Well, we'll proceed that way. Thank you.
Sure.
Does that answer your question, Kevin?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Karen.
Sure.
Mary Jo Berry.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Regarding the notification via PPS, if that was not sent or we can't find it, you said to go to the portal. Is there a link to that portal, or is that the portal that you have on the slide 25? Or
well, let me see.
Chris, I'll take that one.
Okay.
It's you actually go into your PPS profile and you click on your SVI link. Which is what when your APA can go into your PPS profile, it'll show the links for the programs that you have. So you click on your SVI link, and if you go in there, it will list all of the product groups and what's the product groups that you were approved for, the status of them there. So you can just go right in there, and it will list the ones that we've approved you for as part of the revalidation work.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. And that if you were going to approve for additional product groups, if you meet certification criteria later on and want to be approved for additional product groups, you would go in there to request approval as well.
The same link?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you, Karen.
Sure.
Teresa Ward.
Hi, Chris. On the revalidation process, it's every 6 months. Assume that's January and June. Is that correct?
That will be linked up with the reseller authorization revalidation, and I don't believe those dates have been announced yet.
Okay. You had said if you lose a cert, you have until the next process, which is great if it's in February and you don't have until June. But if you lose it within a couple weeks, is there any grace period to carry you through to the next validation process?
There is not, and there's not today either. I mean, actually, this is an improvement over today, because if you lose one today, it's gone the next day. So there is no – what we're going in, we're looking at what you've got, and it's going to be based on that. Now, the good news is as soon as you get that back, you can go in, as Karen just mentioned, to the SBI enrollment and request that you have that authorization group added.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
That product group. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Andy Conrad.
Hi. I just wanted to clarify, and I think I know the answer, but I just want to make sure. You mentioned that you'll be checking every 6 months. Does this affect how long our certifications are effective for? Or, like, do we need to get recertified in something every 6 months? Or is it basically, you know, our certification still lasts, like, 2 years, but, you know, every 6 months you're going to be checking that?
We will just be checking every 6 months. We don't have anything to do with how long the certifications are in effect. That's up to the brands. So nothing about that will change.
Perfect. Thanks.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Christensen.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
Sure.
I actually have a similar question to the young lady about the going into slide 16, going in and picking up your SBI levels and trying to understand what you have and what you don't have to make sure they're right.
Okay.
And so you said just to go into the PPS there, and we should be able to see it there.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I believe it's PartnerWorld/PartnerTools.
Ah, that's.
And that will bring you to your profile.
Yep, correct. You're right.
And then you click on your SBS Software Value Incentive hyperlink there.
Yes, that's working.
And then it should show you the groups.
Okay, perfect. I also have one quick question on the 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that I don't miss something here. It doesn't sound like there's any differentiator between account type, for example, GB Large Enterprise, GB Mid-Market, or INA, or ELA. ELA, of course, is not SVI, but if it's a normal, you know, GB, Large Enterprise, Mid-Market, or INA, all of them qualify for the 10%. There's no differentiator.
That is exactly right. Somebody else just pinged me that same question. There is no differentiation based on customer set. The opportunity just must meet the criteria that we've outlined there, so it's got to be under 50K. But we don't care if it's GB or INA or whatever.
Okay, and then technically for the under 50K, there wouldn't be any documentation needed either for those.
Well, that may or may not be the case.
It meets those criteria, correct.
It has to be, for the no documentation requirement, you must be approved for ID and sell on each website.
That's correct. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That was all I had. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Jackie Boris.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Fine.
I didn't see any mention of data power in the charts, and just wondering how that fits into the changes that are coming out.
Data power is a weird one.
Yep.
It is. It sits under WebSphere, and Karen, is it going to fit in a product group? I don't even know.
I think we'll have to go back and check that. I know there was a question. I thought it was, and then they might have taken it out and put it into open. I know they made a change to it on the reseller authorization side. Dave, do you know?
I don't.
Yeah. Jackie, we'll have to get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay. I apologize. I don't know.
Jessica Grayson.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey. Thanks for all the information. I just have a really quick question. Is there a chart or something somewhere out there that we can reference that shows what brand families fall under which product group, so you kind of know down to the brand family level what you're approved for?
We are working the November version of the SVI eligible parts number list will is going to be updated to include the product group, but I think there is something on the SVP site.
Yeah, on the Software Value Plus site on Partner World, there's a document listing all of the products by and their associated groups.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks.
I just had a question pinged to me regarding Software Value Net and the new announcements. Because both the small deal documentation waiver and the year-end incentives require the partner to be the reseller, neither of these will apply to Software Value Net SVI opportunities. Just want to be sure everybody's clear on that. Sorry about that. Hope we could do something else for you all in the near future, but for right now, Software Value Net is not affected by either of those announcements. Becca, any other questions?
Yes, ma'am. The next question comes from Terry Del Castle.
Yes, good afternoon. Great presentation. My question is concerning slide 12 on the technical sales mastery tests, which now count as a technical cert.
Well, they've always counted as a technical cert.
Okay. My question is, can the sales masteries also count as a sales cert?
At this point, they do not count as a sales cert.
Okay. With that being said, is there a listing up on the websites of, you know, by test number of the tests that will qualify under for the sales certifications?
Yes, there is. If you will go to that technical and sales certification guide, and I've got a link, and I'll tell you what page it's on. It's actually, you can go see the certs that are applied, that are eligible for every product group, and that is on the bottom of page 9.
Okay, I have one more.
Sure.
In previous, under the growth for skills, I had noticed that there was a revenue attainment requirement. Has that now been dropped for the SVP program?
No, it has not. It is growth through skills just became Software Value Plus. It is the implementation of that whole strategy. I'm only focused today on how this is going to affect SVI. I didn't really talk about, you know, Software Value Plus requirements, but that requirement is still in place.
Okay. Thank you.
And just if I can just add one
point
to that, the value revenue requirement that I think you're referring to will not be checked until you've had a year to build a history. So through 2010, you'll be, you know, building a revenue history and using VAP and SVI, I hope. And then it will be in 2011 that we'll be checking that ratio.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Ellen Marisola.
Oops. I did that by mistake.
Lynn Munson.
Hi. Just a basic question, I think. As far as the registering an opportunity that meets all these criteria,
uh-huh.
Is that different depending on if it's a government person? I mean, if you have a government client, that does not count?
Government,
or does?
Government end users are not eligible for SVI. So
that's what I thought.
Yeah,
so any government clients do not count?
Yeah, that didn't change.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
If there are any final questions, please press star 1 at this time. The next question will come from Karen Wabi.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Hey, that link on the bottom of page 9 does
uh-huh.
not appear to be an active link in presentation mode. Is there a way to update that so that it would be?
I don't know, but for now, can you just cut and paste? I know it works because I tried it yesterday.
Well, I'll try to cut and paste. I'll try to do that. Thank you.
If you can't, let me know, okay?
All right.
Thank you.
Once again, if there are any final questions, please press star 1. One moment for the next question, please.
question will come from Praveen.
Hello. We are an EOEM partner. So can we utilize the SVI at all or no?
OEM sales are mutually exclusive with software value incentive, but as a partner, you can belong and participate in both programs. But anything that qualifies for SVI must go through Passport Advantage, which OEM does not. If you'd like any additional information about how you can get enrolled in SVI, feel free to send me a note or give me a call, and I'll be happy to step you through it. Okay?
We are already enrolled in SVI, but
okay.
Every time I go through SVI, they say, oops, you know, you're an OEM, you bought it through OEM, and the same rules don't apply.
Well, that's exactly right. For SVI, all sales orders must go through Passport Advantage in order to be eligible. So if you're using OEM, it's not going through Passport Advantage. So therefore, you can't use OEM and SVI for the same opportunity. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So is it better to be a part of Passport Advantage over OEM?
I think it's going to vary by your situation. Like I said, I'd be happy to talk to you about your situation offline and kind of figure out which is the best program for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Peter Gruitt?
Yeah, I tried your cut and paste, and it doesn't work either.
Oh, no. Well, I will have to get an update, and I'll put it out on the link, okay?
Good.
The other way to get there, if you would like to know this, is listed on the More Information page. If you go to Software Value Plus, that second link that I've got listed, and then you can get to the Skills Navigation Guide by clicking on Authorized Portfolio, and then Criteria, and then it takes you to a PDF, Technical and Sales Skill Navigation Guide. So that's your alternate way to do it. Okay?
The next question will come from Susan Kramer.
Hi. I went out to Partner World the other day, and I ran a skills report for my company.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stripped out anything that had a sunset date, and I tried to come up with the counts for each one of my product families and compared that with my distributor's readiness sheet that I had just obtained this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some discrepancies in the counts. So I was wondering, is there any way for me to figure out why I have discrepancies, and what can I use to help identify those? Because, I have some really big discrepancies in what I came up with based on the skills report versus what my distributor came up with on the readiness. And I thought that anything that had a expiration date after June would still count toward partner readiness. So any cert that expired in August would still count toward 2010. Has that changed?
I'm going to defer to Dave Fitzpatrick.
That's inaccurate. If a cert has expired, it does not count. What we announced was that we would stop expiring most certs. And so you'll notice that there have been no certs expiring in fourth quarter, and they're generally not expiring in first quarter. However, if something had already been announced as expiring and expired, and there were a few in that did expire in August, they do not qualify for SVI or SVP.
Okay. And then the ones
by the way, if you want to go through it on a cert-by-cert basis, I would be happy to have that discussion with you.
Okay. And then I did notice that some of them came through without having a product group. The brand family is there, but the product group is missing. Should I assume that that means it's not a valid?
Well, let's pursue it. There are certifications that are specific to the authorized, to the groups, but then there are some certifications that apply to open distribution products.
Okay.
And so, it may be that you're looking at that. As I said, I'd be happy to follow up with you. My email is dfitz@us.ibm.com.
Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. Anything else, Susan?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay. I thank everybody for your time. Hopefully we cleared up some of the confusion. I hope you're as excited about the new announcements as I am. If you have any questions that didn't get answered today or that you think about after this call, feel free to call me or email me. No problem there. We want to get all of your questions answered. And I will try to get that link that's on page 9 updated so that it is, so that you can actually click from there. Thank you for your help, Rebecca, and again, thanks to everybody for their time.